Hello everybody, here I am at Dublin Castle. You can guess which country I'm in. See all the flags of the European Union. So the castle was built shortly after 1171, when King Henry II came over, built in many, many phases. Now this is not the medieval part of it, this is the late 18th century part of it. And then it was the nerve centre of government in Ireland for centuries. So the King of England became Lord of Ireland, recognised by the Treaty of Windsor and the Synod of Cashel. And then later, Henry VIII, he was hailed as the King of Ireland by a parliament in 1544. Later, we acceded to the United Kingdom on New Year's Day, 1801. But there was a Lord Deputy representing the monarch here for a long time. And then that title was changed to Lord Lieutenant, also known as Governor General. So same title. And he resided in the Viceregal Lodge in Phoenix Castle after the late 18th century. Previously it was here at Phoenix Park. It was here at Dublin Castle. Sometimes an Irishman, sometimes an Englishman, a Scotsman, or a Welshman, and so on. That situation somewhat came to an end in 1921 with a treaty signed at Downing Street the 6th of December that year, and the Irish Free State was established fully 6th of December 1922, but there was still a Governor General. First of all, T.M. Healy, Timothy Michael Healy, a former Home Rule Party MP from Bantry, County Cork, a pro-treatyite. Later, when Fianna Fáil came in 1932, they replaced it with Donal O'Buchla, just to really make a nonsense of it, because he lived in an ordinary council house. He signed whatever documents were legally required, and he just didn't carry out any of the ceremonial duties to try and make it a relevance. And obviously, the monarchy was completely abolished here in Ireland in 1949, because after 1921, we had George V, King of Ireland. He's also the man as King of the United Kingdom. So we've obviously, there's a president these days. President, curiously enough, overlapped with the king. We had a president from 1938. Was the post of Governor General abolished at that point? Methinks that it was. So the president sworn in St. Patrick's Hall here. There was this dormant order the Knights of St. Patrick established in the late 18th century. A bit like the Knights of the Garter. They used to meet here. So then the Blue Hussars, and they play that trumpet fanfare where he or she takes the presidential oath. And last November, Catherine Connolly was sworn in here, and Michael D. Higgins, he obviously had to retire as president, and after she was sworn in, he ceremonially shook her hand, said goodbye, he's got two walking sticks, and drove off. She was accompanied by soldiers here. There was a military band playing for her, greeting some children, waving the tricolour. So yeah, that's it. So some of the more medieval parties over there. And in 1916, The Irish volunteers attempted to storm the castle and failed. It was a major screw-up on their part, because it's one of the most defensible places in Dublin, as well as its symbolic values, because, as I say, this was the centre of government for a long time. And they managed to murder a police officer of the Dublin Metropolitan Police, an unarmed man. The Dublin Metropolitan Police were always unarmed. They were merged into the Garnershire Corner in 1924, just after the Guards were founded. So that's it. Yeah, the crown jewels of Ireland were here. They were stolen about 1904. I have a feeling they were recovered. So, yeah, anyway. And this formed part of the walls of Dublin, the medieval walls of Dublin, almost none of which are still intact or above ground. There are bits which are underground these days. So Dublin was exclusively on the south bank of the Liffey. Obviously, we're a Viking foundation. Well, I mean, I'm a Cork man, but, you know, Ireland's capital is a Viking foundation. Balia are clear. Yeah, Feather Forward Town. Or what else was I going to say? So Dark Bay, the Danes call it. Duvlin in Irish. And that became corrupted to Dublin. So there we are. A bit about Dublin Castle. I've been around it twice. There's also the Connolly Room. Now, he was a Scotsman who was a revolutionary communist and came to tyrannise and oppress us. So a terrorist who surrendered at the end of the defeat of the Easter Rising. So a glorious victory for the order of the forces of freedom, justice and democracy. Anyway, a court-martial sentenced him to death, and then he was executed by firing squad in Kilmainham Jail. He was held there for a while. Now, I'm not in favour of capital punishment. I would rather they had life imprisonment. Capital punishment was uncontroversial at the time. So I'll show you a bit about that. We're heading through Latouche Gate, that's Cork Hill Gate. Okay, so you see the sort of the 18th century part. Okay, there's the chapel. Is that close to St. Patrick's Hall and so on? So very little of the medieval castle is left. Look back here and look at the special garden. Okay, so that's a bit better Dublin Castle. It's not a particularly large castle, but so in the city centre, and then Dublin City Hall. is over here, which also dates from the late 18th century. And then the Home Rule Party, they won control by the 1870s. And there was a first Catholic Lord Mayor was elected for centuries. Now, briefly under James II, we had Catholic Lord Mayors. Now, Dublin had a Protestant majority population to the early 19th century. The Protestant Community Ireland was largely on the east coast, particularly the northeast, like County Down, County Antrim, or Armagh. And Armagh was not quite on the coast, and so on. All right, anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Oh yeah, and behind there you see the Lady Justice. People used to joke that her scales used to fill up with water, so it'd be unbalanced, and she wasn't blindfold, so it was indicative of injustice. Okay. Anyway, there were times when the castle was stormed a bit, so it was destroyed or besieged by separatists. Goodbye, everyone.